Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you remember who Jochebed is? If not, it's okay. I do think that you probably know her influence, though, because she was the mother of Moses. And while we only have a handful of verses that teach us about her, we can see her influence throughout the entire Old Testament because her children followed in her footsteps, living a life and legacy of faith. Stay tuned so we can learn more about this mom of Scripture.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like He's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear His voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's Word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and today we are continuing our study through the Old Testament, looking at different women throughout the scripture. And if you're just joining us, I would encourage you to go back at least to listen to the previous episode, because each episode kind of builds on each other. And just as a reminder, if you want to dig a little bit deeper, we have journaling prompts available for each episode on our Patreon page. And on Patreon, you get exclusive content, you get ad-free episodes, you get journaling prompts and more. You can find the link in our show notes. And I just find that journaling is a great way to help you get the information from your head into your heart. And so we're in Exodus chapter 2 today, and we're talking about the birth of Moses. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" This is some extraordinary faith, the faith of a mother. And I love this story for a variety of reasons. It's so encouraging as a woman of faith, as a mother of faith, and there's some powerful things that we learn from Jochebed. Her name means glory of Jehovah, and actually, she is the first person that we see in Scripture who has a name that is compounded with Jah from Jehovah, and it really literally means glory of Jehovah. Now, there is some speculation that that was not her name initially, because remember, Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. And so some scholars believe that that is the name that he gave his mother as a signature of her remarkable faith. Either way, Jochebed's story is so amazing in Scripture. We learn about her family connections because it talks about how she was part of the clan of Levi. And so she was married to Amram, and they were the parents of Moses. And they had Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Both of them were from the Levitical line, which were the priests of Israel, which tells us that there was a strong faith, a strong lineage of faith in this family. And just look at the DNA of her kids. Moses, of course, became the leader of the Hebrew people. Aaron became the first high priest of Israel, of the Hebrew people. And then Miriam, who we will learn more about in another episode, she was a prophetess, a poet, and a musician, definitely a leader among the women of Israel. And so let's think about this in the context of what we learned yesterday. Yesterday, we learned about the midwives. Pharaoh had commanded all the Hebrew boys to be thrown into the Nile River, which was literally infested with crocodiles. And we learned about the midwives yesterday, but actually what ended up happening after that is even though the midwives were not following through on Pharaoh's command, he started going to investigate all the births and then taking any baby boys that were born and making sure that they were thrown into the Nile. And so this is the time frame where Jochebed was pregnant with Moses. And so think about what it would have been like to be pregnant in that season. Miriam was about 10 at the time. Aaron would have been about 3. And so she has these little kids at home, and now she's pregnant with this another child. And of course, they didn't know whether it would be a boy or a girl. And so think about what it would have been like, not just during the pregnancy, but even in that final moment that the baby was born. There's, of course, this joy and relief that the baby has come and survived, because a lot of times babies did not, or moms did not survive during the childbirth process. So there's this joy and relief. But then the flip side of that is learning that this baby was a boy. It would have brought on this terrible grief and anxiety. Just think about that. But yet she was determined to save the life of this baby boy. It says 3 times in Scripture, in Exodus, in Acts, and in Hebrews, that she saw that Moses was a fine child. And what that means in the original text was not that he was just really beautiful to look at, he was a cutie pie, but it also means that he was fair to God. Basically, there's this implication that there's almost an angelic quality about him, that there was something special about this baby, that it meant more, that there was some sort of special relationship even with him and God that she could pick up on. And she had to have some sort of discernment and gifting because of the way that she was obedient to God and the strategy that he gave her. And so as she has little Moses on her lap, we realize that there is just this idea of how she's going to mingle her faith and her love and her protection to be obedient to God and to save the life of this child. So she was able to hide the baby for a while. Now, we don't really know how she did that, whether it was physically hiding him because he was still so tiny, or it was maybe she had him hidden away in a stall for one of the animals. We don't really know. But when he was about 3 months old, she realized that it was time and she just could not hide him anymore. So she made a little cradle, a little basket out of braided reeds that were made out of papyrus. And the really interesting thing about this is papyrus was actually something that was known to scare away crocodiles. Did you know that? I did not know that before now. But one of the things that has been tested, and actually there was a gentleman who just recently tested this not too long ago, he went to a section of the Nile where there was a lot of papyrus reeds that were growing naturally. And they made a canoe out of these papyrus reeds. And the guy was super nervous because there was a big old crocodile right there in the middle of the Nile River with his mouth open. And he said that when he started to kind of navigate, his guide that was with him said, "Don't worry, the crocodiles are afraid." And he did not believe it until they got a little bit closer. And literally, the crocodile got up on all 4 feet and dove off the rock and basically just swam away. And so this was something that was known even back in ancient Egypt. If you look through the history, in ancient Egypt, they knew that papyrus was something that basically scared away the crocodiles. And so she had this little canoe, basically, or little basket, this little cradle that she made, and she covered it in tar and pitch, which would have waterproofed it and given him the best chance of staying afloat. And she put it in a section of the water that she knew that Pharaoh's daughter visited often. Because the other aspect of this is Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, had a regular routine, a usual time where she would come to wash her body in the Nile, which meant that Moses' mother had carefully planned this. This wasn't just some random act. She had watched and carefully planned out how she was going to do this.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Also, think through the lineage of faith that had been handed down at this point. She was from the tribe of Levi, which meant she knew about Isaac. Remember how God spared Isaac on the mountain? She knew that story, and she knew that God was faithful. And so with that in the back of her mind and her acting in obedience to this plan that God had given her with wisdom and observance and faith, she lays her baby in this little waterproofed basket of papyrus, and she places it in the water on the river's bank, and she instructs Miriam to watch over it, likely because she couldn't bear to watch what had happened. And so it's interesting to think about the fact that Moses is the one that is writing the story that we're reading right now. So this was handed down to him. Either it was God's divine inspiration and revelation that he shared this with him, or it was oral tradition that was told to Moses, or likely it was a little bit of both. But Pharaoh's daughter intervened in a way that felt and seemed unlikely and incredible. The servants of the princess saw the cradle. The princess had compassion on this beautiful little baby boy. And then she knew that a Hebrew woman had to be found to nurse the child because she couldn't nurse the child and it was a Hebrew baby. So it just so happened that young Miriam was nearby and she offered to go and find a Hebrew woman that could nurse the baby. And that just so happened to be Moses's mother, Jochebed. So Jochebed's baby was not only saved, but then she was paid to take care of him until he was weaned. I love that. I love that story and how God intervened on their behalf. And so this opportunity to nurse little Moses gave her this basically section of 3 years to teach her son everything that she could possibly teach him in that amount of time. And we learn later that in those 3 years, he learned enough to have this legacy of faith that stood with him, because after a few years, we learned that he becomes a man who would lead God's people. And eventually, he would be the one to deliver God's people out of the hands of Pharaoh, even though he grew up in Pharaoh's home. And you know, I think about this because when he turned 3 years old, she had to take him back to the princess. And you guys have heard me talk about this before in the podcast, but when our kids turn 18, we take them to college. And I remember leaving my baby girl behind at 18 years old and just sobbing and sobbing as her mom, just thinking 18 years was not long enough. And yet Jochebed only had just three short years. But did you know that 50% of a child's character and personality development takes place by age 3? 50%. And we can see the evidence of that in him. Pharaoh's daughter then brings him up as her own son, which meant that he was educated, he had the best nutrition, he had shelter, he had all the things that he could possibly need. And eventually, he was called Moses because he was drawn out of the water, but eventually he would be the one to lead God's people through the water. I think that's super interesting. Now, we don't know much more about her. We don't know how long she lived. It's likely that she did not live long enough to see even what her children would become, but she set this example of being devoted to God and to acting in faith. And her faith and her obedience was this fertile ground that her children grew out of. And I love that aspect because God used an ordinary woman and ordinary things like papyrus to bring about the extraordinary, especially when we think about who Moses became. And I think about that in terms of my own life, or maybe you're thinking about this in terms of your own life. Would people point to your life as evidence of strong faith? And then let's just reflect on that a minute, because it doesn't mean that just because she acted in faith that she wasn't afraid. I think sometimes we think that if we are acting in faith, we don't have fear, or if we have fear, we don't have faith. I don't think that's true. I think that she did it afraid. I think the moment that she put her baby in that little basket that she made and set it on the bank of the Nile, she was still afraid, but she did it anyway. And I think about different moments in my own life where I have, even just recently with the example I just gave, when I have to release my kids to the Lord, I do it in faith. Do I still worry about them? Absolutely. Now I use that worry to drive me to prayer, but in full transparency, one of my kids just told me that she wants to climb Kilimanjaro. That is insane to me. And I have to go to the Lord and trust him with her. She did it afraid. And I think that's an example to us as moms that we can hold both things. I think we hold both things at once. We can both have fear and anxiety and worry. Those are normal emotions as a mom, but we can also trust God and act in faith. I think it's also a powerful example for us on what it means to take our calling as a mother seriously. We have just a few years of time, and hopefully we have more than 3 years like she did, but we have just a few years time to invest in the spiritual lives of our children. And the faith of a mother can make all the difference in the lives of our children. God gives mothers 2 basic guidelines for training up our children. We find them in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, love God. Scripture says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so in that, we devote ourselves to not just God, but to teaching our children about God and teaching our children to love him more than anything or anyone else. And then the second part is to teach God's word. It says, "You shall teach my words diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And so as we communicate the truths of Scripture to our children, God uses that obedience to train up and grow our children in Him. Every single day counts when we're training our children up for the Lord. Jehoshabed only had about 1,000 days with little Moses. How many days do you have left before your kid turns 18 and leaves the house? Let's make sure that each one of them count. Father God, I thank you for the influence that we see of Jehoshabed in Scripture, the influence she had on Moses, and eventually the influence that that had over the Hebrew people. God, I thank you for that perspective as we lean into what it means to be a godly mother that imparts wisdom and Scripture and your love into our own children. God, help us to take that calling seriously. Help us to realize that every single day, every single moment matters because we don't have that much time left with our kids. Even when I ache to think that 18 years is not long enough, God, I thank you that I had 18 years. And it's not that our influence stops at 18 when our kids move out of the house, but that day-to-day education, spiritual training, influence, it just changes. So God, I pray for my friends that might be facing that, a transition in their parenting, or even for my friends that are in the thick of raising little ones right now. God, would you help us to remember the faith of Jehoshabed and realizing the impact that our faith can make on our children? God, I thank you for the example that we see for her and throughout the Scriptures, all the women that you have named in your word. God, I thank you about the way it teaches us about you and the way that you empower us to do the things you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.